Sandy, how are you doing this afternoon, my friend?
I'm doing good, brother.
Thanks for taking some time to talk draft with us. Where was a young, I think you were 23 years old, Sandy Nunziata. Where were you the day of the 1992 CFL draft? Were you watching it at home?
My draft year?
Yes.
Actually, you know what? They actually had it at the Hamilton Convention Center.
And okay.
It was more of a physical presence where they called your name down and you walked on stage and, you know, you grabbed your jersey. So it's a great moment for a young player to go through that experience.
Yeah, the draft has sure changed in the last 20-some years or so. It'll be on TSN2 tonight at 6 p.m. Sandy, before we get into the draft, I saw you tweeting about the Patriots and Tom Brady. I just want to get your thoughts about this. You spent a lot of time in the game of football. Is 4 games too much for Tom Brady for simply knowing that footballs were deflated?
Well, I think it's just a situation where the media loves to latch on to these stories that tend to vilify Tom Brady and players of that accomplishment. Listen, I played professional football for 11 years, and there wasn't one play that went by that I wasn't in the process of cheating or aggressively trying to gain an advantage on the opponent I was playing with. Now, obviously, you try to do it within the rules, but, I mean, to suggest that it should be blown out like this, like 4 games for the PSI of a football, this is absolutely incredible. It's ludicrous. And to top it all off, now the conversation turns to tarnishing Tom Brady's legacy, which is just absolutely incredible that you could see an accomplished player of his caliber, 4 Super Bowls. It's just disturbing that the media would latch onto this.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple days, and I'm sure this story isn't even close to being finished. We'll hear more about this in the coming days. But, Sandy, let's talk about the CFL draft. Gets going in about 3.5 hours. Let's put your scouting hat on, Sandy. If you were running the Ottawa Redblacks, you have the first overall pick. What's the number one area of need for that team?
Well, obviously, if you look at their offensive production last year, it wasn't quite where they wanted it to be. I mean, if I'm a Brave GM, I'm taking Brandon Bridge. And everyone says, well, why would you waste the first-round draft pick on Brandon Bridge? Because I think it sets a clear message that you want this guy to be the next quarterback of the future and for the next decade. But all arrows point to the fact that Brandon Bridge might be available in a later round. But, I mean, you can never go wrong with an offensive lineman. And that's just the situation, the scenario in the CFL, where if you have a need, you plug it in with an offensive lineman, and it's never a bad idea to stockpile offensive linemen, which has been the modus operandi of the Ottawa franchise for the longest time. So, I mean, if I'm Ottawa, you know, I'm taking maybe Danny Gruel, offensive lineman for Laval, who's from that area anyways, bring in some hometown talent.
Sandy, you mentioned quarterback Brandon Bridge, the 6'4" quarterback out of Toronto. Do you remember there being this much hype surrounding a Canadian-born quarterback in recent memory?
No, not since Russ Jackson, which is going back quite a bit.
A long time, yeah.
The opportunity to actually secure the services of a Canadian board quarterback that has learned his craft in the NCAA at a very high level is a very, very rare opportunity. I just think it's one of those moments that the CFL and certainly one of its 9 franchisees could really seize the moment and grab a guy like Brandon Bridge and remove all obstacles to make sure that he comes north of the border and he starts his career in the CFL.
Sandy Nunziata joins us, helping us preview the 2015 CFL draft. You mentioned offensive line. Brett Boyko is ranked number one on a lot of lists I saw. Is he, in your opinion, Sandy, the best offensive lineman in this draft? And is it close if he's not number one?
Well, I think he's certainly up there. When you look at the competition that he's played against, there's probably not a better offensive line prospect out there. But again, I think with coaching, certainly in the CIS the last decade, the gap in talent has slowly diminished. And you can't teach strength, you can't teach quick feet, and you can't teach technique. You either have it or you don't coming out of your university draft year. And there's a lot of players out there that are very capable of stepping in and contributing right away. I think when you look at the formula of who to draft and where to draft them, I think it comes down to, number one, ratios, and number two, if there's a glaring need at one of those ratio-typical Canadian positions, whether there's a guy talented enough to step right in. If not, you're waiting for him to mature, and you're waiting 2 or 3 years until he steps into that starter's role. Is there a guy out there right now? Well, everyone says that it's Boyko and possibly, maybe the kid from Laval like Danny Gruel. But I don't know. It's a crapshoot at best to see whether or not they can come in and start right off the bat.
Sandy, we had the combine, the CFL combine, about 6 weeks ago in the end of March. Can players really, really help their stock by having a good showing at the combine, or is it more they can just hurt their stock by having a poor showing at the combine?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. Definitely, you could always improve your stock by putting up some impressive numbers. And, you know, if history's taught us anything, you have marginal players that flew under the radar right up into the combine where they put up very impressive numbers and their draft stock went through the roof. The same holds true when you put poor performances up. And I put a guy like Darrell Wald, who's the defensive lineman for Western, on that list. I don't think he did anything to improve his draft stock. Defensive linemen typically are very unimpressive. But, you know, it all depends on where the need is. I don't see a huge upside to attending a draft or to attending a combine if you're not going to be putting up those impressive numbers.
Sandy, which team in the CFL, there's nine of them now, which team is under the most pressure? Which team can afford to screw up this draft tonight?
Well, I think if you look at the years of futility that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have enjoyed, I think this is going to be a watershed moment for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers where they can actually grab a piece to the puzzle. Because if they don't, the naysayers are going to say another wasted moment, another wasted draft class, and they're not doing enough to improve their team and improve their Grey Cup fortunes. As the host of the Grey Cup this year, I know they want to make the playoffs, and I know they want to make a run. So this is going to be a very, very critical moment for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
And lastly, Sandy, I'll get you out of here on this one. We follow the Edmonton Eskimos very closely here. They had quite a bounce-back season with Chris Jones as the head coach. Ed Hervey's now signed long-term as the general manager of the Eskimos, Sandy. What have you made of kind of this rebirth of the Edmonton Eskimos led by GM Ed Hervey, who's a former teammate of yours?
Yeah, I love Ed, and I love what he's doing out there. He's creating a culture, and it's the winning culture. It's the Eskimo way, and he's really trying to bring in players that will buy into that system. And a great example is the recent draft, the recent trade for Corey Watson. I mean, this is a guy that comes in with some great numbers when he was injury free, but now he's reduced to a role player. And Ed Hervey says as much. This is the Eskimo way. It's a team. It's a team approach. And I just love what they're doing out there. And you got to give a lot of credit to Chris Jones and the philosophy and the hard work that he's promoting. And certainly the Eskimo way that Ed Hervey is a leader in.
Sandy, I lied. This is going to be my last one for you. I haven't had a chance to speak with you since they named a new commissioner in the CFL. Is Jeffrey Orridge the right man to lead the CFL into the 2015?
Well, he certainly has the pedigree. And when you talk about the job description of the CFL commissioner, obviously he has to be someone that's very player-friendly. He has to be very connected in the corporate world. And he has to have some kind of political currency in the Toronto market because, let's face it, as the Toronto Argos go, so goes the CFL. So I think they hit it out of the ballpark with Jeffrey. And hopefully, you know, we're going to see some great things from this commissioner, and he's just going to pick up right where Mark Cohen left off.
Sandy, I appreciate your time this afternoon. I'm going to preview the draft. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy watching the draft tonight. It gets going at 6 p.m. here on the West Coast and 8 a.m. out in Toronto.
My pleasure. Have a great day.